Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. Many places one could be this morning. You say, oh, there's other places I could really go and enjoy myself. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's places that you could be that you could probably find enjoyment, but there's nothing more joyful than getting to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and learning the things and the ways that would be pleasing unto the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord? You know, your life is like a vapor and a mist, the Bible says. You're here for a moment and gone. I know as a little child, a year seemed like forever. You know, you turn 15 and get your driver's permit, it seemed like a long year to get that driver's license, you know. And it was always something that just seemed like take forever. But as you get up a little older in years, you find out that they just start spinning by very promptly. You know, but still you say, well, you know, my father back here is 85 years old, and you think, well, you know, that's a long time. Nah, it's not even a day to the Lord, is it? It's not even a tenth of a day to the Lord. We got to get out of the way of thinking of temporal life, temporal time, and thinking on those minds and those thoughts. It's a vapor, as the Bible says. You know, when it's cold out in the wintertime and you breathe and a little vapor goes out, watch it for a minute. It ain't there very long, is it? It goes away very promptly, doesn't it? And that's kind of the way the Bible's expressing your life. It's vanity, the Bible said. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. And you say, well, preacher, you sound like one that doesn't enjoy life. No, I enjoy eternal life. I'm eternal, brothers and sisters. Some are looking for eternal life, but I am dwelling in eternal life. You understand that? There's a difference. And you say, well, you know, eternal life will begin when you die. Well, I've already died. The Bible says that we're buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. Do you believe that? Or did you just go and get wet? The Bible said to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So did you just go get wet, or was you actually buried with him? The Bible said we're buried with him and resurrected with him. The thing is the Bible goes on to say that when we're buried with him and we're resurrected with him, it teaches us, brothers and sisters, that we know that we no longer live. It's quoted there in Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse. It said, I'm crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And you say, by faith, what is faith? Faith is something, it's an invisible thing that is made manifest. You see, so I'm taking this invisible Father that no man has seen, and I'm making him manifest in me because his Spirit lives and dwells within me. Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? You say, well, that's the Spirit of Jesus. He said, I and my Father are one. It said the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead will dwell in us, in this mortal body. Now the body's mortal. It was misshapen in iniquity. But there's an eternal living Spirit that dwells within us, the eternal Spirit of God. And we become one with that, and that's what makes us live and live eternally. I have some thoughts this morning I'd like to bring across to you and some to think about. This church has been very well indoctrinated in types and shadows, allegories, patterns, dimensions. And you say, well, what is all that? Well, you know, the Bible says Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So when we think of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, Father being invisible, the Word manifest and made flesh walked among men. So now we find this God that was invisible that no man has ever seen came in a way of flesh, that he came in among men that they could see and understand the attributes of the invisible God. I know that a lot of you are young here, but when I was a child, they used to have a program on television called The Invisible Man. Does anybody remember that? And the only way that you could see him was if he put on some clothing or something that you could see where he was. Well, this invisible God has robed himself within flesh that we could see and understand because we're fleshly, we're mortal, we're temporal. We only see the vanity world, the world of unbelief, or the world that's a fake. So this God robed himself in a fleshly way that we could see and understand the attributes of God. Amen? God always was. Never had any beginning. Never has no end. See, we got to understand God. And then when he came and we say the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, he made himself twain, Lord and Christ. We still differentiate apart from these two because the eternal Spirit of the Father manifested in this flesh and image, the part of corruption. But as he went into the earth, he suffered and not seen corruption and brought him forth as the firstborn of many brethren, the resurrection. Now we say we're born again. We must be born again. In speaking to you about dimensions, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, we got to start understanding these. Otherwise, we won't understand our Bibles. A lot of times people read the Bible and they don't understand something. They just go on and think, well, I'm not supposed to understand. But the Bible says He gives us His Spirit, an unction to know all things. How many wants to know all things? Amen. And the thing is so oftentimes, and I'm guilty as well as you are. A lot of times you think, well, the preacher's, you know, really puffed up. He really thinks he knows something. I only know what God will unveil to me. I'm a man just like you're a man. Your eyes have to become open. Your ears have to become unstopped that you could hear and receive. Now, we're talking about, when we're speaking about invisible, we talk about seeing the unseen. I know I spoke about this last week a little bit also, but we couldn't take 2 weeks and even really do it justice by speaking about the eternal things of God. Amen? It said the things that Jesus done while He walked among men couldn't be recorded in all the books. They couldn't contain it. So the things of God are deep and they're rich. And we have to have a hunger and a drawing for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the understanding of God. Otherwise, we're going to just grab a little bit here and grab a little bit there and be somewhat satisfied. And you should have a contentment, yes, but we need to grow in the grace of knowledge. We need to have a hunger and thirst, the Bible says, after righteousness. Again, when we say invisible, and we have to learn to see the invisible, we have to learn to comprehend the invisible, and we got to learn to hear the inaudible. Now, the thing is that doesn't effectuate people at all. It's like, well, you know, I mean, I can't see the invisible, but we can. We have to learn. You're just like somebody learns a new language, you know, or they go and study. They got to learn. It's got to be unveiled to them. It's got to come open. And you can see, the Bible said, all of the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed to us by the things which do appear. Now, let me speak to you about spirits for a moment before we go into the scriptures. Spirits are invisible. Do you realize that there's spirits all around? The Bible said we're encamped around about a great cloud of witnesses. What are these great cloud of witnesses? They're spirits. There's spirits around you all the time. People that aren't accustomed to the spirit world, they're being manipulated by the spirit world, and many times they don't even realize it. You know, I remember reading a story about a mother that drove her three little children off into a lake, and the mother gets out of the car and drowns her children. Do you think a mother would do that to her own children? We know better than that. There's something in a mother that loves her children. And when they do that, they've yielded to these invisible spirits, these demon spirits that want to kill, steal, and destroy. When you see a man beat his wife, that's man's desires not to beat his wife, but there's a spirit, a demon spirit of anger and wrath and malice in him, and it's just eating him alive, and he just unleashes himself with these demon spirits. You see, we've got to learn to recognize these spirits. You say, well, I think a person could, you know, do those things without being a devil. Well, the Bible says that there's these two different spirits, and there's one that's good and one that's evil. There's one that's light and there's one that's darkness. And you've got to learn to understand that everything is motivated by a spirit. You'd realize that you don't walk, you don't talk, you don't do anything. Have you ever heard of somebody out of their mind before? They can't make any sense. They're out of their mind. Why is the mind so important? Why would the mind be such an important thing? You take the mind out of somebody, they're dead, aren't they? Or as well as dead. You know, and the thing is the Bible said when the spirit leaves the body's dead. So you know there's got to be another form of life other than just this fleshly life or body life. How come when the spirit departs that the thing doesn't continue to move and wiggle and keep on going? It doesn't. It goes to naught, to nothing. So it takes a spirit to bring life to this flesh, to this body. Without the spirit, when God created the first man, He took and molded him out of the elements of the earth. And He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils. You see, that's a breath of temporal life. But there is an eternal spirit life, so we're differentiating life. Understand, we got to differentiate these two lives. And we can get so infatuated in the natural carnal life. The Bible said that the carnal mind is death and enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. So now we're differentiating still. We talk about the mind of Christ, the life. I thought enough robbery to be equal with God. Well, how can I be equal with God? Because you're eternal. And you become one with Him, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You say, well, I don't think I could become equal with God. Well, then you're going to have to avoid part of the Bible, because that's what the Bible says. Do you understand that when a man and woman marry, they become equal? Do you ever realize that? If you don't believe that, go get a divorce. This is mine. And you'll find out. I've known men that were wealthy and had good businesses. They married some gal. They fell, thought they fell in love and this and that. And she decided to get another one. And all of a sudden, she took half of his belongings with her when she left. You think, that don't sound good, preacher. I'm just telling you that, you know, we're differentiating a little bit. Yes, but we got to learn to understand something. That the things of the spirit world, the unseen, the invisible things, are revealed by the things which appear. And we look at the patterns in this earth. We see the patterns in this earth, and it's speaking volumes to us. It's telling us what's going on in the heavens, what's going on in the spirit. You see, when we start thinking of heaven, so oftentimes, people, they got this heaven off out here somewhere, planet Pluto or somewhere out there, planet 19 or something, you know, and they got this place, and they don't understand. You see, when Jesus was transfigured before the eyes of the brethren there, when he was transfigured there, he was changed. And he said that he becomes so bright, bright exceeding light. You understand that? But this was right here. Did he go off to heaven? Where is heaven at? You see, this is what we got to start learning to understand. There's a spiritual dimension around us. We could call it, we say, the third heaven. There's a second heaven. The Bible teaches this. First, second, third heaven. And you need to learn to differentiate these heavens for you can understand God. When you have a body, soul, and spirit, you need to understand the differences between your body, soul, and your spirit. You understand that? You have to learn to differentiate this. You say, well, I don't think it's necessary, preacher. All I got to do is know Jesus died for me and resurrected. Well, there's a lot of people with that knowledge that are dying and perishing. You see, the Bible says not lay again the foundation of repentance and to press on into these greater works and greater things. You know, in the educational field, we seek after education, we go through elementary school, and then we go off to college, all to better ourselves for temporal life, just for here for a moment. We go and push in for all this education, and we can understand the things of carnal, the things of natural, the things we do. And I'm not against education, don't misunderstand me. But what about eternal life? You know, as a child or a young man or young woman is making preparations through the educational field to make a better life for themselves, that's wonderful. But what about pressing and educating ourselves for eternal life? When you think of this vapor or this short moment of this life and all the preparation for that, wouldn't we think we'd want to spend equal amount of preparations for our eternity? Especially in the day and hour that we're living in, a day of darkness and a day of deception. Do you realize that how many preachers in this day and hour are deceived? And you say you might be one. I consider that, brothers and sisters, honestly. The Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. I'm continually examining because these spirits could come to you with deceitful thoughts. Don't you believe that Satan is the master of deception? He's been at it for a long time. Let me ask you this. Let's step away from the spirit world for a minute. How many of you have been deceived by people before? Come on now, let's be honest. I don't think there's not one person here that couldn't raise their hand. I mean, how many of you have been at Walmart? I come up, sir, man, I'm a little down on my luck, man. And, you know, man, I lost my job and you know, my wife left me and this and that. Y'all been there, hadn't you? And you think, oh, you poor guy. Man, oh, man, let me help you. Man, your heart, oh, man, I got compassion. I'll help you. You give them money and this and that. And the next thing you see him walking by with a fifth of whiskey. Huh? That's happened to me. What is that? That's deception. They deceived you. That guy wasn't hungry at all. He was deceptive. He was full of the devil. Oh, just because he's out there begging for, it doesn't mean he's full of the devil. The Bible said he's never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. So the thing is we're talking about deceitful powers, deceitful spirits. We always go way over to what we would say the far limits, possibly. But I'm talking we need to be guarding over our thoughts. The Bible said, cast down every vain imagination. And every thought that would exalt itself before God. And if we got to learn to differentiate our thoughts, discern our thoughts. The Bible said the things of God have to be spiritually discerned. Do you realize that? We have to discern, brothers and sisters. So we got to discern what we're thinking about. You know, when Peter loved the Lord, does anybody question that Peter loved Jesus? He was right there with him. We found him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. And he was always with the Lord. He loved him. When he was there at the Last Supper and the Lord was saying these things and different things, and Jesus is like, oh, man, we're not going to let this happen to you. You know, I'll give my life for you. But then yet there was deceitful powers of Satan. If they weren't there, then why did Jesus look at Peter and say, get you behind me, Satan? I stood this here and stood behind this sacred desk and said, that would have been Brother Rob. I'm telling you. Jesus would have looked at Brother Rob and said, get you behind me, Satan, because I know walking among men, if I would have had the privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was walking among men, and he's sitting there saying, hey, they're going to come get me, they're going to take me, incarcerate me, they're going to take me and kill me. Well, I'm not going to let that happen to you. I love you, Lord. I'll fight for you. What did Peter do there when they came for him in Gethsemane? Huh? He took his sword, and he wasn't trying to take the guy's ear off. Come on now. If he was trying to take the guy's ear off, he would have took a shoulder off. He was going for a guy's head. And that guy laid his head over like they say, you're speculating. Now let me tell you something. He had to lay his head over like that, and that sword went by and took his ear off. And the compassion of the Lord, the one that was there to take and kill him, picked that ear up and put it back on. It's in your Bible. He put that ear back on. Now, I tell you what, if I was going to pick up somebody and take and have them killed and crucified and take them to the laws of the land of that day, and some rascal took my ear off and the guy picked it back up and stuck on my head, I'd say, sir, peace be with you, brother. You know, you go ahead and go on your way, man. You know, I ain't messing with this guy. But I'll tell you what, didn't change the fact. How about the Pharisees that were standing there when Jesus would do these great miracles? And they were standing there and observed these men that were lame from their mother's womb or blind and never saw. And they knew they were around town begging on a continuous basis. And he comes up and they are healed miraculously and get up. And then they start finding fault with him. Well, you can't do this. It's the Sabbath day. You know, I'll tell you what, when somebody brings up some guy that ain't never walked before and he starts walking, sir, you can do whatever you want on the Sabbath day, huh? And they got bound up in these laws. And they coming against the living God. Amen. So as we start trying to understand, brothers and sisters, of the invisible world, there is an invisible spirit of the living God living in me that should be speaking and manifesting himself. As you, a child of God, one that's born again, have the spirit of God living in you. The actions should be the attributes of God. In Galatians, it teaches us, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. So if I keep yielding my members, my body, my life, my time, over to the carnal things of this world. Again, the carnal mind is death. If I keep yielding it over, then it says that that's who I am of. The devil is my father. That's what the Bible says. If I keep yielding that. But if I yield my life, the Bible said to give your life as a living sacrifice. That's just our reasonable service. But if we could yield our life over to the Lord, then we become one with him. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to read some scripture to you. And I want you to keep in mind that we're still learning to differentiate between these worlds. Sometimes we say patterns. There's saints in the scriptures and in the word of God, brothers and sisters, that are in the Old Testament that show patterns. They teach us patterns of things. If I took and read the New Testament to you today, and I was reading about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's all I do, is one thing, and that's a great thing. But if we read it, we could see that this thing is manifesting again today. You see, when we find a man fall or a woman fall into diverse lust or temptations or sin or whatever, however you want to express it, it's not a new thing. It's the same pattern that we've watched over and over. The Bible said a haughty spirit comes before the fall. Now the thing is if I see a man that's haughty and arrogant, I could make a prediction because I know what the Bible says, and this man's going to crash up. This man's going to fall. This man's going to have a wreck up. You know, and it's just the patterns of things that run. Have y'all ever learned to watch things and you sense or see or discern things that are taking place? And then sometimes the outcome happens, they come to the preacher like, oh my, we watch dimensions. You see, somebody that smokes and smokes and smokes and smokes, and they come to the preacher, man, I've got emphysema, I've got cancer, I got this and that. Well, man, didn't you watch the pattern? It's kind of a common thing, isn't it? You know, somebody that just indulges in those obese, you know, and they just keep on snorting like a hog and feeding and pushing and feeding and pushing. And then all of a sudden they're clogged up arteries and they're fat. Their health is bad. They can't breathe right and all these different kind of things. You know, it's like, hey, can't you just see the pattern? This is what happens every time your elbow bends and you shove something down your throat. You're going to get fat. You're going to be obese. You know, like learn the patterns. Now, see, we're talking about a natural dimension. But what about over in the spiritual realm? It's the same thing. You know, what are we eating of? What are we partaking? What are we taking into our spirit? You realize your spirit has got to eat. Your spirit has got to eat just like your natural man's got to eat. We're talking still patterns. We've got to learn to see these patterns. I'm going to read in Genesis, the first chapter this morning, if you'll take your Bibles over there. We're going to begin at the first verse. I'm going to be very brief on some of these things, but let's go to the first verse. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven. If we would stop right there and I would expound on that, would take a lot of time. And you say, well, that's pretty simple. Which earth was it? What are we saying? Well, we're talking about this earth, but this is where we start differentiating. This is an earth too. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. You see, before I was born again, I was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of my deep. All the way down through me, there was darkness because I had no understanding. But he said, let there be light, understanding, revelation, and it started speaking and changing. So I could read this right here and talk about the creation of man, or I could talk about the creation of this earth. And you say, well, I think it talks about there. This is why you have to learn to differentiate, for you could get the revelation of the word. Because there's a lot of times people read their Bibles over in other areas, and they get this historic value out of it. It's wonderful to have Bible history. But we need to unveil the history and find out why God put it there for we could comprehend and understand. Verse 2 again says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. We can start talking about body, soul, and spirit, differentiating between these things. But let's go on. And God called the light day, and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That darkness light has to do with that carnal nature of darkness and the eternal quickening spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is light. But let's go on. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. I want you to think about that seed a moment. And the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed, again, I want you to think on that seed for a moment, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. I want you to think, because we're going to be looking at some patterns here as we go on down. But he's speaking something about this seed that's within. Now we're talking about the first dimension of the water world. So we remember we have a water, blood, and spirit world, and all three have a seed. If you want to grow a peach tree, the first thing you're going to have to do is get a peach tree seed. Is that right? Amen. Okay, and it's going to reproduce after its kind. The seed of man, the semen in the man, the seed go forth, it's going to bring forth after its kind. And then there's the seed that keepeth you from sin, the seed in the spiritual dimension. The Bible teaches that the sons of God cannot sin because that seed remaineth in them and keepeth them from sin. So we find that the significance is on the seed in the first dimension. We find that it goes over into the second as well. But let's go on here. Verse 11. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Remember where it said, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and trees yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day and the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. It's still the same today, brothers and sisters. There's no change in that. It's still this very same thing today. And when you step into the next dimension, we have this middle wall partition, or that soul realm that runs in the middle, and it keeps these two parts divided from your darkness. The Bible said that light be formed in darkness, and we're talking about the quickening spirit of the living God dwelling within this darkness of your human flesh. And it's the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus living within you, but it's manifesting in the darkness. You understand that? Being made known and seen, comprehended and understood. Amen. Verse 15, it says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light is to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, I could talk about the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus right there. And I could bring you a revelation on that, but we're going to go on just a little bit. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And day. If there wasn't revelation in this, the thing would be that why would God spend so much time talking about the dividing of the lightness and the dark and the creation of these things? And you say, well, it's very important. You know, we need sun and daylight. And I say, yay and amen. But he's also speaking in other perspectives. God is a deep, deep, rich God. Amen. Not claiming I have this great understanding by no means, but we're pressing for the things of understanding, greater things of God. Not trying to make mysteries out of the Word, but the Bible said we're stewards of the mysteries. Do you know what a steward of a mystery is, brethren? Do you realize what a steward of a mystery is? That's us. We're sons of God. We're the stewards of the mysteries. A mystery is a secret. You know, sometimes naturally people want to know secrets. Boy, come on. Well, I told him I wouldn't tell him. Oh, come on, man, tell me. Do you have that kind of desire for the mysteries of God? Amen. Verse 21. And God created great wells in every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, now listen, we're talking about the beast realm here. And he says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to think about this. We're talking about these seeds. We're talking about being fruitful and multiplying. And fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. A lot could be said here. Trinitarians love this as in our image. And after our likeness. So we bring it to a differentiation of a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. We have to understand this. And God said, let's make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle of all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Now listen, be fruitful. And multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. Some things I want to speak about to you for a moment. We see a creation here, and we need to understand it. But we see the importance within this creation. Let me give you a couple more scripture references right here real quick. Give me just a moment. I'm just going to read these. You don't have to turn to them. If he wants to put it on the board, that would be fine. But in Genesis 8:17, it says, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both fowl and cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that it may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Okay, now we find it there. We know that Noah took all these animals in, and he was commanded the same thing when he released them. Again, to let them replenish and or let them to multiply. In Genesis 9, it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them. Now, they think about this, mankind, someone starting over here, flooded the earth because of their wickedness. Now, this is the same God. He's the same to every generation. And here he wipes out the creation of man. He said he repented that he even made man. Okay, but here he is again, and it took Noah, which was faithful to God, a perfect man. And he said, and God blessed Noah and the sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth. to you into your hand, are they delivered? Now, there's a couple things I want you to see here. We're in the second dimension here, and he's telling them to multiply and to be fruitful. But then he's also explaining to them they have dominion, and they have the power, and that they will fear. Now, brothers and sisters, what would make you think for a moment when we step into the third dimension that we're not receiving? We see it in the first, we see it in the second. Now, what would make us for one moment think that the pattern of the third dimension or this third heaven or this third world or this spirit world would be any different? Are you and I to have dominion? Are you and I to have power? Are you and I to add an increase? Are you and I are expected to bring forth a replenishing and a multiply? It is no different, brothers and sisters, right now today, when we look at it in the spiritual realm. We got to learn to understand that. Now, again, the Bible says, I could take you over into 1 John the 3rd chapter, and it said, ye that are born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth there. You understand that? The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is invisible. So we're speaking about another dimension, another realm altogether. And we have to learn to see, perceive, understand, comprehend, and understand what we're being asked to do here. Now, many times people would consider themselves Bible scholars. They've studied their Bibles. They believe they understand their Bibles. And they have never learned to see beyond the veil. The Bible says, speaking about this Bible, it says, the letter of the law killeth. Okay, we find the letter of the law written down and recorded in this Bible that we've got, the collection of these 66 books. We find in this collection of these books a letter of a law, and the Bible says it kills. But it said that the Spirit, brothers and sisters, brings life. Now the thing is we're in the spiritual dimension. Can y'all receive that? You say, well, I'm just a man. Well, the Bible said that you must be born again. And when you're born of God, then you're no longer a man. You say, well, you're telling me, preacher, that you're not a man? I was born as a man, shapen in iniquity, with the sins of death, yes. But I'm talking about the born again. Do you understand born again? There's something is birth. Something is born. You know, you understand it when you go to the hospital and a baby's born. Can you understand when somebody's really born again? This isn't just some cliche or some fancy little word or some little riddle that we say. There's a reality of being born. Now, brothers and sisters, if you can't believe that, there's going to be a rude day of an awakening one day when you're going to find out there is a most definitely active spiritual world. And this spiritual world, there's people that are creatures, I'll say, that have been born into this. Born again. Born in. So we're going to have to learn to understand this. Now, let's go on for just a moment. I'm going to read one more scripture just to bring the point of the importance of multiplying and replenishing. In Genesis 9:7, again, he says, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. You know, when we think of Father Abraham and we think of the seed, it said that the seeds within him would be as numerous as the stars in the heaven. That's a lot of seed, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And the thing is we see that it was commanded to go forth and do these things. In the Old Testament, the woman, and I could take you into some doctrine and some teaching here, but the woman, the Bible says the woman saved in childbearing. Now the thing is a lot of times people don't understand that. But did you hear me say a minute ago, I'm the bride of Christ? God repented that he made man. And the thing is but God spared man because in that dimension where we say the bride of Christ, feminine for reproduction. And it's the seed that comes within that reproduces after his kind. You understand that? So the thing is God saved me. God spared me that he repented that he made man, but he spared us that we could reproduce. You understand? Replenish, reproduce. This was the whole plan of God from the beginning, to multiply. Now the thing is in the kingdom of God, it's without end. And it's going to continually be without end. And we're talking about reproduction. Now when we go into the second dimension, the physical realm, I could go into a lot of revelation talking about the marriage relationship. I could talk about the seal in the woman when she's a virgin. I could talk about the breaking of the seal. I could talk about the blood. And it all shows a spiritual revelation. It shows a thing. It shows a covenant. When you're married, when Jesus said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me, and they were cast into the lake of fire, it's because they were never found as a virgin in the chambers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that seal being broken, you understand that? And them entering into the eternal covenant with God. That's what that marriage and that second dimension, it shows that. As the woman, the virgin bride, married unto the man. And when this relationship takes him, there's a covenant there. Amen. Now the Bible said when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Amen. And you say, well, I just don't know if I understand that. Well, when you understand it in the next, Paul said, I show you a mystery. He And the thing is I'm showing the woman being married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into that covenant with Him through the marriage relationship that the seed can enter in. Just as a natural woman or a physical woman, the same way she's got to receive seed to reproduce life, I had to come to a place in the born again that I could receive the seed to reproduce life and bring forth eternal life. Have you considered, is your womb barren? If you go into the Old Testament and read about a woman that couldn't bring forth a child, man, they would go before the prophets, they would go before priests, they would go before them and plead with them. They would pray day and night and begging God, if you just let my womb become open, if you would just bless my womb, I'll bring my child and I'll bring it to the house of God. It could be raised by the prophets of God in the house of God, and I'll give this child as a sacrifice, because they knew that if they didn't bring forth a child, they had no inheritance. You understand that? So you see in the first dimension that you see this struggle to bring forth life, to bring forth a child. When you find these women like Sarah pleading with the Lord and even mocked and laughed when He said that she would bring forth a child in her old age, but she knew that she didn't have no inheritance. And when we're going through the stories and we think of Rachel having troubles conceiving and Leah and the thing, but sought after the Lord to bring forth a child. Now, brothers and sisters, we see the importance of the birthing taking place in the first dimension with that, so we got to apply it over into the next. So we go to the second dimension and say, well, you know, we got to bring forth children or it wouldn't be replanted. This is why the queers and the faggots are going to have a problem. They can't reproduce, can they? Two women can't reproduce. Two men can't reproduce. And I just don't call them gay. I know some of you think I speak kind of weird. I don't call them gay. That's unbiblical. The Bible commands me, said, if I call evil good, it's sin. Gay is something that's a good thing. Through the etymology of the word gay, it's changed and taken a change. When somebody says, gay, you know, hey, that guy's gay, they think he's a queer or a pervert. That word is changed. Amen. And I choose not to change it. I don't use it because of the thinking of people. I don't say, oh, Brother Randy's a gay old guy, you know. I don't use the term because of the change of the word, but I'm not going to use it to the perverted way that they've changed it. According to my Bible, they're sodomites. They're perverts. You understand that? And it's an abomination in God. I'm telling you what, I don't care how many faggots are out there that call themselves born again. They are not born again. A queer is not born again. They need to get born again. Now, I know it sounds crude to you, but it's crude to me for somebody to tell me that they're a Christian and they're a lesbian or they're a homosexual. It's impossible. They can get born again, but when they get born again, the sin leaves. You understand that? It's gone. It'll go away. They might have to struggle a little bit, but they'll overcome it. I've overcome a lot of things, brother said, when I gave my life to the Lord. People get hung up on drugs. They get hung up on alcohol. They get hung up in sexual perversions. They get hung up in this, but God is a deliverer, amen, the same to every generation, and He will and can, will set you free. Now, we're talking about reproduction still. So when we go into this third dimension and we find out that we find through these other two of replenishing and thing, we know that we've got to bring forth an increase. We got to bring forth an increase, and this is your and my responsibility. When the Lord Jesus come and walked among them, He said, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He was saying, come and follow me. We're going to do something. The Bible's very clear that the Bible says that ye that win souls are wise. And we got to find this wisdom, this understanding, this revelation that we could bring forth and add an increase. Are you talking about numbers in the church, Brother Rob? You see, brothers and sisters, this invisible world of spirit is different than the natural world. You see, because people are carnal and natural minded, they could fill a church up and might have 10,000 in a church and they think that they've got 10,000 children of God. But that's not biblical whatsoever at all. The Bible says a small flock few be there that find it. The righteous scarcely make it, is what the Bible says. Well, I don't think it's that complicated to be born again. Well, let me say something there about that. The thing is it's really not when you're fertile. You understand that? How many, you know, sometimes young folks, they get married and they just have children. Another one struggle. And for sometimes goes into years before they have children. You know, and you think, well, man, it's just a matter of a relationship. But sometimes there's complications. Sometimes there's complications in the egg. Sometimes complications in the ovary. Sometimes complications in the female bodily parts or even in the male. Sometimes the man might be impotent. There's no strength in the seed. You see, not going into science here or into physical body, but I'm telling you, these things are showing something in the spiritual realm. There's people that go through the motions that are never born again. The Bible said they cast out devils in my name. They laid hands on the sick and they recovered. you worker of iniquity, depart. They went through the motions, but he didn't know them. See, the knowing is the, I'm going to say this, and I want you to make sure you can differentiate, but it's a sexual relationship. Now, I know that sounds a little weird to you, but I said that to make sure you're getting a thought. Well, but Brother Rob, that doesn't sound quite right. Well, I'm trying to bring it to your thoughts, naturally speaking, that you know that there's a marriage relationship with a man and woman to bring forth a child. I would prefer to use the marriage relationship. Well, see, when we're married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I can show you in the Bible, he's our husband and we're the bride. Well, why would he have a bride? Why did he make her a virgin? Why did he make her without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? Because he's not going to lay with a whore. He's not going to go into a marriage relationship with a whore. You understand that? Well, that sounds like strong talk. Well, read your Bibles. It's very clear in there. Well, go watch filthy TV programs that use every filthy kind of word, every filthy kind of language, and all this kind of trash. And then the preacher says something, you think, oh, you can't talk like that. Well, let me tell you something. I want to reverence the house of God and the sacred desk here and reverence you as the children of God and your children that are here present here. But I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, children even need to learn how to know that there are things of evil in this earth, that there are sodomites and perverts and whores and whoremongers and drunkards and adulterers and fornicators and perverts and pedophiles. Children need to know that, for they'll be aware and they could be learning to guard after themselves as little children. These things, you know, people don't want to teach about them or talk about them. They want to make it bad. If I say something about a sodomite, they want to say, well, you have hate. It's a hate crime. No, I don't have hate. I hate the devil, and I hate what I'm saying. It's not that I hate the homosexual. I was down in a meeting. I was preaching. I said, bring the sodomites in. Bring the perverts in. Bring the homosexual, and I'll hug them and love them. And sure enough, the Lord made me honor my word when that pervert came walking into the altars with his little fin in himself, and I hugged him. Pray for that man. He needs to get set free. I laid hands on him. He was scared to death, shaken, but he did not receive the Spirit of God. Pray for him. Okay, let's go on a minute. We're talking about these dimensions, trying to differentiate dimensions for we can understand the plan of God. The seed that he created to yield forth fruit after his kind. The man he created was created to yield forth fruit after his kind. Now we're the sons of God, and we're created to yield forth sons of God. Amen? Now the thing is that if we're sons of God, and then it's the seed that goes forth that brings forth the replenishing or bring forth add or an increase. And you say, where do these seeds come from? Now we go out to the fruit trees out here in the yard, we know where the seed comes from. We go to the man, and it said the fruit tree, the seed was within. We go to a man, where's the seed at? It's within. It's within the loins of man. Okay, then we go into the next dimension, and we talk about this seed, and where's this seed at? Where's this seed come from? And we find that the Spirit bringing forth a seed, brothers and sisters, when we're getting into a message, into a church service, there's a seed that's going forth. And you're hoping that the heart is fruitful. Jesus even went up again speaking about it when he was talking about sowing seed. And he said some of the seed, he was talking about preaching the word there, but he paralleled it to the physical earth. And he said sometimes the old ground is hard and stony, and the seed would go on top of the ground, the fowls of the air. The fowls are these demon spirits. When you're so hard-hearted and so calloused, and the seed is going forth, life-changing seed going forth in the church, and this life-changing seed's going forth, but you're so callous and so hard-hearted that it just falls there, and these demons, these foul there, come and gather it up, and you absolutely get nothing. That's what Jesus was trying to teach them and explain to them. But it said some found fertile soil. Some found fertile. It's like the woman and the man, and one again to bring forth a child. If the woman isn't fertile, if the woman isn't in the cycle, isn't in the season, no man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draws. If the cycle's not there, the season's not there, it won't do no good. As I say, they come into the church, they shout, and they speak in tongues, they dance, and praise God, hallelujah. It's just the motions. A man and woman go through the motions of the marriage relationship. They have their thrill, they have their excitement, they have their thrust, whatever you want to say, and then no child comes forth. You see, so it's got to go beyond the emotion. It's got to go on beyond the church service, the waving of the hands, the shouting, hallelujah, praise God. There's got to be some fertile soil there. There's got to be something that seed could find and seed could receive. And this is a condition of the heart, brothers and sisters. It's a condition that we've got to come in. God could make us that way, but we got to submit to him. We've got to reverence him. We got to love him. The Bible said he inhabits again the praises of this people. We got to learn how to worship the Lord. You see, and then we've got to differentiate between the charismatic, you know, everybody just wants to come in and shout hallelujah. But we got to have that in our hearts, in our spirit. There should be something with this. The Bible said raise up holy hands. Amen. We got to learn how to rejoice. to the Lord and I come around, you know, I was embarrassed. I wouldn't do it. You know, people in the church would be lifting up their hands and, oh, you know, man, I'm bad. Man, come on. You know, and then one day you do like this one. Yeah. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Okay. All Sunday. You ever have any problem shouting? When some old beast ran across the goal line with a pigskin? Man, you'd jump to your feet and scream as loud as you could. Don't think nothing. But I'm talking about life. Yeah. Eternal life. Well, I don't think we have to be charismatic and scream and shout. Well, let me tell you something. As I expressed about being incarcerated, I'll tell you what, you find a little shout when they open that door and let you out of there. And when you're bound up with this world and you're bound up in this world and the cares of this world and you get set free, it's something exciting. Amen. You'll do anything and everything to please your master. Hallelujah. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. I'm going to go over and read a couple more scriptures to you. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's, let's go to about the 36th verse. I'm going to read a little bit here, and I'll try not to expound too much. And we'll, if I was going to take time this morning, I could talk about the differentiation of death. You know, you think death is when you put in a box out there and your heart quits and all that. And that's not death. The Bible doesn't teach that whatsoever at all. But we use the term, because this is what mankind does. Okay, yeah, he's dead. Sons of God don't die. I can show you that in your Bibles. Sons of God don't die. It said we pass from death unto life. Jesus abolished death. We pass from death unto life. So we got to learn to differentiate and understand the spirit world. He commands us to speak by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. So there's another world that you need to get accustomed to and learn to understand. See how people think I'm weird. You won't think you're weird when you bypass the grave and bypass death and bypass hell and the lake of fire. Let's just go to verse 36. It says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. I wish I could take time this morning to elaborate on that, but let's go on. It says, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. Now we're differentiating flesh here. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies telestial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. I want you to think about that. We're right here in the King James Bible. This ain't some weird Bible. This is the Word of God. So they're differentiating here between bodies and flesh. You see, there's a spirit body. There's a carnal, natural body. This is what we got to understand. Celestial and terrestrial are showing one that's temporal and one that's eternal. One that's spirit. One that's carnal. One that's relative to the earth, to the five senses of the flesh. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. Again, these things would take a lot of time to expound on these. I don't think you'd give me adequate time. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. The natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You know, if you went to school, and my background being aviation, I could start speaking aviation terms to you. My dad here is a pilot. He would understand. I could start talking about different things of aviation if we wanted to get into whatever, the mechanics or into flying. He would understand me. If we got into terminologies, you know, about navigation, about airways and vectors and reciprocals and courses and true headings and true courses and magnetic headings and magnetic courses and variation and things like that, all that would make perfect sense to him because he's been trained as a pilot. But to you, it's variation. What's the difference between a true course and a true heading, a magnetic course, a magnetic heading? What's the difference between true airspeed, calibrated airspeed? What is the difference between ground speed and airspeed? You know, and you say, what is the difference of these? I'm not trying to bore you, I'm just saying it. But you'd have to be educated. When you're educated in it, then you could follow along. But you see, you know, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I find you carnal. And he said, you don't understand these things. And you should be teaching these things, is what he goes on to say. So I stopped to say all that, is, you know, we're speaking about these things, and I find some of your minds are void. And I'm thinking, well, look, this is, it's simplistic, but then yet you have to be taught and trained and learn to start differentiating between these worlds and these minds and these bodies. Because if we don't learn about the spiritual things, we will die in the carnal things. The carnal mind is death and enmity with God. So the thing is we've got to learn to start. You say, well, you're trying to tell me that I'm going to have to understand this? If you don't understand these foundational truths, then you cannot build on the spiritual revelations of the things that are really taking place around you. Again, the Bible says the unseen things or the invisible things of the spirit world are revealed by the things we see. And we got to learn to differentiate to see what we're really seeing and understand it. There's things, like I said, if you take a person that smokes and they die of cancer or all these things, I mean, is that like, oh, shocking? It shouldn't be. I mean, you've done watch, and this is what happens. This is what happens when you defile yourself. Forget about eternity. Forget about eternal life. I'm just talking about what you're doing to yourself. Can't you see what it's doing? I saw a collection of these photo clips, and it showed this one young man. He was a senior in high school, and he was, they have a name for it. I think the valedictorianism. I think that's what he was. Okay, but healthy guy. Good-looking kid. Strong kid. And he went out and messed around with this drug. It was one of them kind. He snorted, I guess, smoked, shot it, fixed. I don't know what he'd done, but he's at a high school party and he'd done this. And he got a really rush, a real high. Made him feel strong. And the next week at school, they had a track event. And this stuff made him feel so strong and so good. He thought, well, I'm going to take a little bit of that and go do this track event. He set a school record. Broke a track record and set a school record for this thing. So made him even a bigger hero. But they said that he got such a thrill and such a thrust from this that he kept taking it, looking for that same thrill and thrust, but he couldn't find it no more. But he kept taking it. But what I was saying is I showed this collection of pictures of this young man, healthy, strong, good-looking kid. And as he got so tied up in his drugs, it watched his frame start getting smaller. His muscle mass started getting smaller. Skin color started changing. And it looked like he was aging. And this was, of course, over, I think, about 18 months. And this guy, he started getting sores on him, and he was pathetic. I just looked terrible. Yeah, my heart goes out to people like that. We've helped drug addicts. We've taken them off the streets and helped get them rehabilitated and cleaned up. I'm not speaking in a way, but I'm just talking about how something just transformates and just changed right before your eyes and see this pictures of this guy. And you say, well, what are you saying, preacher? You see, the same things take place in our lives. Now, when you take and you see these pictures of drugs, you see what drugs is doing. Or I could talk about the effects of tobaccos. Or I could talk about the effects of many things. A lot of times, you know, we're swallowing down prescription drugs and we look at the drug, act like they're some scumbag of the earth. But we could be just as guilty and just as bad. Even though the doctor's prescribing it, don't mean we need it. Well, don't you believe in medicine? Sure I do. But let me tell you something. Doctors like you coming back and they like to make money. Well, you can't talk about the medical field that way. Well, let me help you out a little bit. The medical field is one of the biggest, most corrupt institutions in the world. They say that about 80% of the surgeries that are done today aren't necessary. Now, that's a high number, isn't it? You know, I always wondered, I see some of these people in stage 4 cancer. And I mean, it's eating up every part of their body and they're going to take them in and cut on them and do surgery. Like, leave the guy alone. Let him go. You know, and let him make peace with God. You know, or something, but quit pumping radiation in him and quit putting poison in him. You're making him sick. It's one thing to be dying, but it's another thing to get poison pumped into you and then be sick while you're dying. You know, at least have a little bit of strength. And you say, well, sometimes that chemotherapy saves lives. I say, yay and amen. Praise God. I'm not against it. Just I'm talking about the mind of it and the mind of finance, the mind of money. And a lot of times they don't care. They just, you know, they're not all bad. I agree. I say yay and amen. There's some good physicians out there that are truly concerned for their people. I know that. There's some good preachers out there that really love the people and are seeking after souls. But there's some corrupt ones about Oh, my job. School teacher? Let's talk about school teachers a minute. When I was a kid in school, okay, we had good teachers and bad teachers. You had some teachers that looked like they were really there for you. They wanted to help you. Another one was just a job. I chose this job, went to school, got degrees. I'm a teacher. They don't seem to love kids, don't really seem to care. It's that way, folks. You know, I'm not trying to sound mean or cruel, but it's that way. There's good mechanics, bad mechanics. There's good pilots, there's bad pilots. There's good preachers, there's bad preachers. But as I talk about this man seemed like a speedy course to corruption, you can say, well, this is the effects of that, of this kind of life or this kind of thing. What is the effects of carnality? Death. What is the effects of being in love with the world? Death. What is the effects of seeking after your own and not him? See, the Bible said to give your life as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? You give your life as a living sacrifice. The Bible said to make it into the kingdom of God, you have to become as a child. Are you with me, saints? You got to become as a child. Now let's talk about a child for a moment. Some of you haven't raised children yet, but how many of you have a six-year-old come up and say, hey, Dad, I'm going to stay all night with Johnny tonight. See ya. It don't work that way, does it? Does a six-year-old come up to his parents and say, hey, I'm going to do this? No, he doesn't. Okay, so now it says to enter into the kingdom of God, we got to become as a child. What is that saying to us? You see, a child knows that it has to have obedience and that there's a headship and an order over it. And it's not making the decisions. You see, I'm a man, bless God. I've worked, I've earned my way. I've done this and I've met the mark. And I'm going to do what I want to do and go where I want to go. And I'm going to do this and do that. Well, congratulations, you're on your way to hell. Well, I don't know about that. Well, let's talk about bride then. Okay, so you get married. Your wife says, you know, I love you, honey. Oh, man, I appreciate you, sweetheart. How come you women are looking at me? Don't you ever say that to your husbands? But she says, honey, we've had a good weekend this weekend and had a good time. I really enjoyed myself with you. But remember that guy I used to date back when I was a junior in high school? Old Freddie Fender. I'm going to go stay the night with him, honey. What kind of husband would say, okay, come on now, think about it. You say, well, you're ignorant, preacher. Why would you even say stuff like that? Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's a very ignorant thing to say. A man would be some kind of ignorant to say, okay, honey, I'll see you Wednesday then. You know, what kind of husband would do that? A man that loves his wife, he's jealous over his wife with a godly jealousy. Jesus said he's jealous over us. God's jealous over you and I. We're his bride. He don't want us. The Bible says friendship with this world is adultery in God. So if I'm friends with the world, I'm an adulterer, and the Bible said no adulterer is going to enter into the kingdom. Are we concerned about eternal life? Amen. We should be concerned about life and eternal life. You know, the Bible said seek the kingdom of God first. Yes, he can add occupations and careers to you, but you should be seeking him first. He could raise you up and make you the best in your field, but you got to seek him first. If you're not seeking him first and he comes second place, you're in trouble. Fall in love with Jesus, amen. He's a good God. An awesome God. Verse 44 here it says, it is sown a natural body that is raised a spiritual body. You've got to discern these two. Natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. And that depends on what dimension you're looking at that in. But I'm not going to expound on that right now. I'm going to close here right directly. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Differentiating between Adam and the second man, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It says, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on. That answers that other question, if you remember. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. Do you understand that? So when the corruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. I appreciate the word. Much more could be said. We can go on for quite some more time, but I'm going to stop there. Brethren, we need to desire spiritual things. We need to desire the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If spiritual things doesn't intrigue you or draw you, then you need a checkup and find out what is your problem, because this is where life is. You know, when a young woman falls in love with a man, she desires him. She's wanting to fellowship with him. I think back in the days my wife and I was courting, a long time ago, I can still remember the number. I probably couldn't tell you the number I had when I lived in Georgia. I couldn't tell you a lot of things, but I could tell you her number. Now, she hadn't had that phone number for, let's see, how old am I now? I guess it's been 35 plus 37 years, but I remember that phone number. You know why I remember that phone number? Because I was in love with my wife-to-be, and I was on the phone all the time. We didn't have cell phones then. Boy, but when you got home, I could remember Dad and Mom always mad at me. Get off the phone! Man, you know, maybe someone else is trying to call. But I can still remember that phone number because I called it so much. You see, because I desired fellowship. I desired her. Wanted to talk. Now, you see, I'm speaking about our relationship with God. The thing is we need to have a desire to be in love with the Lord, a desire for Him. If there's no desire there, you see, if that woman doesn't desire the man, or the man doesn't desire the woman, they're never going to come together in marriage. They're never going to come together in reproduction, we could say. And if you're not desiring God and really desiring and falling in love with the Lord, then you will not bring forth the heir to the throne of God. Do you realize that we're joint heirs with Him? You know why we're joint heirs with Him? Because we're born into the kingdom. Again, Jesus said, you must be born again. You see, the child has to be born. You must be born again to inherit the kingdom. So if you're an heir, joint heirs with Him, then that means you must be born again. So the thing is to be born again, there has to be the relationship. Got to enter into the chambers with the Lord Jesus. You say, well, that's just all too complicated. It's not a complicated thing about getting married and getting into a relationship with your husband to bring a child, is it? That's not complicated. Then why do we make it complicated to be the same thing? If we look at, it's not complicated to see the seed go in the ground out here and get a fruit tree. It's not complicated to see the seed from the loins of a man go into the womb of the woman to bring forth a child. And now we're just stepping in the next dimension. We see the motions, and we've got the same thing here. We've got to go through this. The Bible said that our name's put in the book of life before the foundation of the world because we're predestined and He knows. But we still got to go through it. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified before the world ever was. But He still had to come to this earth and go through the motions to be crucified. And go through that. My name was put in the book of life before the world ever was. But He still had to come and go through the motions. You say, well, I'm a son of God. Well, then go through the motions. You say, well, I don't think baptism is necessary. Well, the Bible said that you must be baptized. Amen. Peter said that in the first sermon. He said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So the thing is, well, I don't think it's necessary. No, you need to go through the motions of it. Well, I don't believe water saves you. I don't believe it does neither, but it sure convinces me that you got some faith in the Word of God. Amen. And without faith, you will not know God nor see God. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open. Hallelujah. Appreciate you, brethren. Appreciate your labors, your endeavors, your efforts. And when you seek first the kingdom, and you make yourself available, if it's working in the school, helping with whatever the church needs are, God blesses you for those things. He adds an increase to your life. When you share your finances and your substance, we don't take up offerings here in the church. There's a box on the back wall there. If you want to share, God blesses for sharing. We don't beg or plead, but we do know the Bible. The Bible said you rob God, He cuts holes in your pockets. Sometimes people got holes in their pockets because they never learned to tithe. Say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, that's why you're poor and in trouble all the time. Amen. Well, I know people that tithe that are in trouble all the time. Well, Jesus, He was in trouble all the time. Amen. Wasn't He? They wanted to stone Him, kill Him all the time, didn't they? Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you and appreciate you. We thank you for coming to the house of God today. Pray that God will bless our endeavors for Christ and we could see an increase of the seed into the kingdom of God and an increase of the sons of God. Amen. Pray for me as your pastor, your friend, your brother. Pray for, again, the brotherhood, that we can do more for the Lord Jesus. When it's all said and done, you might build an empire. You might be a president of a country. All that's nothing. The only thing that matters is that your name is put in the book of life. And after that, the only thing that matters is the thanks of the increase to the kingdom, that you will receive the jewels and the crowns, that you could lay them back at the Lord's feet. Amen. You love Lord. Let's give Jesus one more hand. We love you, Jesus. You're our Lord and our God. We thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him a hand, saints. He's our Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.